That's the soda of golf in the month of L. Yeah. You need to be patient step by step. That's right. You're not gonna get it in the first shot. That's Gvaldik. That's a good teaching. Okay. All right, friends, so let's learn. I sent you a piece of Torah this morning from Rav Kluger Shlita from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger Shlita. It's an amazing little Torah. Okay, and he begins with the Sefer is called Machon Shivtacha. It's a volume all on Elul and Tishrei. Beautiful, beautiful Torah. The name of the piece is Elul Yimei Matana V'Hamtana. As Yitzchak Yaakov just said, that in golf a person has to be patient. So in Elul you also have to be patient. Elul is a time of gifts and patience. Okay, you can see obviously a play on word between the word matana, which means a gift, and hamtana, which means savlanut. Okay, but let's see. Let's go step by step. We start with the pasuk in Mishle. Famous pasuk in Mishle that it's hard to understand exactly what is being expressed. Hinei ksiv sone matanos yichya. Have you heard this pasuk before? A person who despises gifts will live. Let's pause right there. What's the pshat? Yosef Naiman, what's wrong with a gift? What's wrong with a gift? What's the problem with a gift? Sone matanos yichya. A person who despises gifts will live. So maybe it's talking about a person who takes achrayas for his life. He doesn't always take handouts. It's easy for a person to sometimes think, I'll let someone else take care of me, and then my life will be better. But the truth is, maybe a person who rejects gifts will be more alive. And the Gemara brings it halacha lemaisa that the Amoraim would refuse gifts. They didn't want to take gifts. And in halacha, it's a real deal. And in halacha, when do we say that a person can accept a gift, shouldn't accept a gift? Right? Is this just a chumrah? Is this a halacha? Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara in Chulin in the footnote. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Chista, Ezehu Sone Matanos Yechya. What's an example of Sone Matanos, one who despises gifts, will live? Zeharoa Trefa La'atzmo. The Gemara in Chulin says, if a person has an animal, and he's shechting this animal, and he discovers that this animal might in fact be a trefa, and not fit for consumption, and he's going to have to incur a financial loss, and yet he honestly, he's roe trefa la'atzmo, he declares, not about himself, about the animal, but he declares this animal not fit. So that's an example of soni matanos yechya, meaning a person who's willing to incur a financial loss for some greater good. Because if I take gifts, I could always have more. So a person, an example of this, says Rav Chista, an example of soni matanos yechya is roe trefa la'atzmo. Continuing in the footnote, Darash Mar Zutra Mishmei Derav Chista, Kol Misha Korei Vishona, a person who learns Tanakh, and a person who learns Mishnah, and a person who's Roe Trefa La'atzmo, and a person who's willing to make sacrifice for financial loss, Vishimish Talmidei Chachamim, about such a person, the Pasuk says, Yagia Kapecha Kisochel Ashrecha V'Tovlach, Rav Zvid Amar Zoche V'Nochel Shnei Olamo, such a person is Zoche to both worlds, Olam Haza, Olam Haba, Ashrecha Olam Haza, Tov Lach Olam Haba. Interesting. And then the Gemara gives examples of different, again, like Rav Kluger said, different tzaddikim, different amoraim, who refused gifts. Rav Elazar, ki abu mishadre lemi bein asiya midi. Rav Elazar, when they would send him, mishader means to send, when they would send him a gift from the house of the Nasi, mi bein asiya, lo shakil, he didn't accept. I don't need presents. I don't take handouts. V'chi havi mezamnile, but they would invite him, come to a lavish feast. Lo azil. Thanks, but no thanks. He wouldn't go. Amar lo kabay mar de'echi. He would say back. He would say, don't you want me to live? And the pasuk says, soni matanos yechya. So I don't want invitations. I don't want handouts. I don't want any of this. Rabbi Zeira, when they would send him gifts, he also wouldn't take it. And when they would invite him, azil, he would go. And he used to say, because let's be honest, they're really not inviting me for my benefit, they're inviting me for their benefit. It's an honor for them if I show up at their meal. So that's why he would go to the to all the invitations that he would get. But however, this is the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Mem Daled, about Sone Matanos Yechya. And again, there's a big discussion, as Rav Kluger continues here in the footnote, quoting from the Rishonim, the Adraman and Bava Basra, the Ritva and others, whether it's only if a person takes something without paying at all. What if someone gives you a discount? Is that Sone Matanos Yechya? What happens if a person gets a gift from a non-Jew? Is that Sone Matanos Yechya? Or it's only from a Jew? The Ritva, the Riva discusses it. Not the Ritva, the Riva. Okay, so different opinions exactly what the gedder of Sone Matanos Yechya is. But it's a funny idea. What's so bad? Someone buys you a present, say thank you. Why do you have to be difficult about it? So let's go back to the basic question, says Rav Kluger. Why should a person hate a gift? What's wrong with a gift? Is it so terrible to receive a gift? We need to understand. Pasha Pshat. No? Chavar, what do you say? So the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Mishlei, says that there's something very painful about a person who's looking forward to something arriving, and then it doesn't arrive. When you have an expectation to receive something, and it doesn't come true, it can be very, very disheartening. That's one of the reasons, by the way, in the whole sugya of Mashiach, we're not allowed to predict. The Rambam writes very strongly, the Gemara says very strongly in Sanhedrin, not to predict Mashiach's arrival. Why? Because there's a terrible despondency that comes. Let's say I told you, right, again, but if I told you, I have a Kabbalah that Mashiach is coming today at 2 p.m. So you'd be all excited, you'd be ready. What happens when 2 p.m. comes and Mashiach, God forbid, doesn't come? So you'd feel very broken over that. Because when you expect something and it doesn't come true, it's very hurtful. So that's why we long for Mashiach, we believe in Mashiach, but we don't offer predictions of when Mashiach is going to come. So therefore, the Mikavan Shemiyachel, says the Gra, since a person is Miyachel, a person looks forward Lamatanos, if a person becomes the type of person who's expecting gifts, Vaharbe Pamim Einam Megios, a love, right? You thought everyone's going to make a big celebration for your birthday, and everyone forgot. And now you're all upset. Lachain Chayav Einam Chayim. So then your life is not life, because you become painfully dependent upon others. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. When a person looks forward to something, or he has an expectation of getting something, you know, you get your stimulus checks in the mail, you know, and you're all excited. Thank you, Mr. President. And then, like, it stops coming. You're like, whoa, what happened? I used to get all this free money, and now, like, it doesn't come anymore. And then you feel all bent out of shape. How am I going to afford life anymore? So, Sone Matanos Yechya, don't expect anything. That's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. If you have expectations, so then you set yourself up for pain when that doesn't come true. But says Rav Kluger, Vadayin Taima Bai, but we still need to understand a little bit more. He quotes one other explanation, the Maharshal, in his Yam Shel Shlomo on Chulin. The Chassam Sofer quotes it in Chulin as well. He explains, Peirush Sha'af Mi, continuing on the top of the next page, Sha'af Mi Shesone Matanos, right, that a person who's Sone Matanos, Dehainu Shechai Al Yedei Matanos Hatzibur, Gam kein yichya, dahainu shiyazmin lo hakadosh baruch hu parnasaso lo al yedei matnas baser v'dam im yisna esamatanos. Maybe, says the Maharshal, what's it telling us? That even a person who, unfortunately, is struggling financially and needs to receive handouts, about such a person, soni matanos, if he says, you know what, I don't want to take from people, I want to rely on hakadosh baruch hu, yichya, he'll survive. How will he survive? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for him. So maybe that's the pshat in Sone Matanos Yechya. Right? Maybe even a person who feels that they need to take, if he refuses to take, Shlomo HaMelech says, Yechya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that he survives. But friends, we still need to understand the nature of this prohibition, or this, you know, negative idea of taking gifts, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us gifts all the time. And right now, and this is the point that Rav Kluger wants to make, we're mamish in the middle of one of the biggest gifts of all. And that is Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This whole Zman of Yimei Rachamim, Veslichos, Yimei Ratzon, these are days that are an awesome gift. So we need to understand. No, Rav Dovi had something to say.
I wanted to ask on what you said, like, on you can't expect the time of Mashiach to come. You can't predict a particular date. So, but we predict that it's going to come before 6,000 years.
We have a Masorah in the Gemara that 6,000 is the deadline. But exactly when it's going to come, we don't know. Now, the real question that you want to ask is, but there were tzaddikim throughout the generations who did offer predictions. The Rambam himself who quotes, the Gemara, that a person who predicts Mashiach's arrival, his bones should rot, the Rambam himself, in one of his letters, has a prediction. He says, I have a Kabbalah, I have a Masorah, I have a tradition. So how do we explain that? The Malbim has predictions, the Toltos Yaakov Yosef has predictions. Through all the generations, you have Tzaddikim, Rishonim, Achronim, who all have predictions. So how do we make sense of that? So that's a good question.
Yeah.
Right? But the danger of it, again, the danger is, you know, the year Tav Resh Nun. Ah, is that it? Did I get it right? Tav Resh Nun would be what? 18... No, Tav Resh Pei? I think the year 1840? 1860? Hold on, let's think for a second.
Is Tav Resh together 700? Like 5-7 something?
Yeah, well, Tav Resh would be 600, so it's the 1800. 18... What was the year that everyone thought Mashiach was coming? 1860? I think 1860. What would be Tav Resh? What would be 60?
Are you referencing like Shavtai Tzvi, like that time, or something separate?
No, something separate. There was a big year. Tav Resh. I don't know. I want to say Tav Resh Nun, but there was a big year when everyone thought Mashiach was coming. There was a big year that everyone thought Mashiach was coming. And the Jikover, the holy Jikover, said, I guarantee Mashiach's not coming. I guarantee Mashiach. All the tzaddikim were talking about, there was a lot of Ramazim and the Zohar. Everyone was talking about the year that Mashiach was coming. One of the tzaddikim, the Heilige Jikover, said, Mashiach's not coming. And afterwards, you know, when Mashiach didn't come, they said to him, you know, how did you know? So he said, I didn't know. He said, but I was nervous that if all the tzaddikim say Mashiach's coming, and Mashiach doesn't come, it's going to be a terrible chorban for Klal Yisrael. He said, I also knew the sources and the traditions that Mashiach, it was a very ripe time for Mashiach. But he was scared that if everyone says, you know, Mashiach's coming and it doesn't come, so there's going to be a terrible disappointment. So he said, at least this way, people could say, well, not everyone said Mashiach's going to come. The Jikover said Mashiach's not going to come. So people would have something to... you know, to rely upon. And he passed away that year on Sukkos. That year on Sukkos, he ended up passing away. So he was deeply, you know, connected to whatever was going on at that time. But be it as it may, we have to be very careful not to get our hopes up, says the Vilna Gaon, because then there's disappointment. So that's why Sonim Batanos Yechia. Yeah.
And how do you also like get around that? I think you started to touch on it now, is that we expect everything to come from Hashem. Meaning, when even a source where it said that an Ani, if he doesn't rely on, he cannot rely on other people and expect it to come from Hashem, that's expecting Hashem to give you a gift. That's a point to that. Maybe like if you have people who don't expect anything from Hashem and Hashem gives you something and then, that's a power gift. Hashem wanted to give it to me. But this, in that case specifically, he's expecting something from Hashem to come. How do we get around that?
Okay, so let's see. I mean, I think this is part of what he's going to address here.
Rabbi, it was 1860. Just to...
it was 1860. So what is it? So it's, what is that? 1860 is what?
Oh, I know, that's right.
Let's just think for a second. Last year we were learning 1940 was tough shin. Right? When we were learning Esh Kodesh, the Tav Shin was 1940. So that means 1840 would be Tav Resh. And 1860 would be Tav Resh Chaf. That makes sense? Something like that. Okay, fine. I'll tell you why I'm getting stuck on this.
It's Tav Resh Chaf.
I know, but I'm wasting your time because I think they used to call people who believed in Mashiach's arrival at the time. They had a certain name for them. Okay, whatever. I'm wasting your time. Fine, let's go on. So let's understand. So says Rav Kluger. Va'od yesh lahavin. So Rav Kluger says we need to understand again this whole inyan of sonim matanos yechya. Da'alo kol yemei chodesh elol. Hinam dugmas ha'arba'im yom sheshoha Moshe Rabbeinu b'marim levakesh matana l'klal yisrael. These 40 days of Elul and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva are the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was waiting to get the Luchos Shnios to bring the biggest gift to Klal Yisrael, namely the gift of Tshuva, the gift of the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Those Yud Gimel Midos, those special expressions, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanon, which what? Which literally save our life. Shiachon V'Rachim Af Es Mi She'eno Hagun V'eno Kedai. Which protects and brings rachmanis on a person who's not worthy. So these days, you want to tell me not to like gifts, but these days, these 40 days are the biggest gift that we have, that we receive every year. Ve'im kein madua yesh lanu lisno inyan hamatanos. So why should we hate this inyan of a matana? Halo anu miyachdim es yimei elul l'tshuva b'shvil la'or es hamatnas chinam hazo. We make a whole asek out of elul. We designate these days as days of waking ourselves up and tshuva as a means of what? As a means of acknowledging this awesome gift, this matnas chinam, this free handout that Hashem gave us, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down to Klal Yisrael. So you're telling me what? I should hate Chodesh Elul? I should hate the opportunity of these days? It's a good question. It's mamish a matnas chinam. It's a big gift. After everything we did with Chet Ayin Gimel, with the Chet HaEgel, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up and he teaches us the power of second chances and he brings down the Luchos Shnios. When does Moshe come down with the Luchos Shnios? However, what day historically did the Jewish people get the second Luchos? Yom Kippur itself. So these days are the days where Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving, is bringing us the biggest matana in the world. So how can we hate it? How can we despise it? So Rav Kluger says we need to understand what makes a matana a matana. Why is something called a matana? How would you define a matana? Very simply. Hainu, sheze lo ba mitzad hamakabel. Ela hanosein betovo hu nosein. What makes it a gift? If I trade you an apple for an orange, so you didn't give me the gift of an apple, we did business. What makes it a matana? A matana is when the nosein, when the giver gives something that the receiver has no rights to. Right? It's not coming mitzad ha-makabel. It has no shaychis be'emes to the receiver, but it's merely an expression of the goodness of the giver, uva'ayin yafa hu nosein, and he gives something that the recipient doesn't really deserve or expect. Da'alo im ze magia le'makabel, because if he deserves it, if he earned it, right? Machmas maisav, because of something that he did to deserve it or to earn it. Halo ein ze matana, elke ein kibul schar. When your boss gives you a paycheck, that's not a matana. You worked and you got the reward. You got the paycheck. Val karchach shematana hainu shemachmas hamakabel ein sibul ze. So therefore, what defines a matana? A matana means that the receiver has no justification for it. V'chol kam shaze rak mitzad hanosein. The more that it's being given to you despite not deserving it, the more it's called the matana, the more it's called the gift. If a person feels that they've done something to earn it a little bit, they deserve it somewhat, so then it's not called a matana. In other words, when you receive a true gift, you don't even have the vessels to receive it. And that's what the Rebbe is going to explain now. So if this is so, Chaver, listen, it's a beautiful idea. Let's say you run your life in a very precise way. Let's say you don't have anything in your life that's extra. Let's say it's a funny scenario, but imagine you live Again, you live in a small room, and everything you own in your life is kept in that small room. And the storage in that small room is just enough for what? For every single item that you own. So your closet has just enough space for your clothing, right? Or your drawer has just enough space for your garments. And your shelf has just enough space for the number of books that you own. And everything has just exactly the right So the kalim, the vessel, the space, is perfect. It's perfectly aligned for all that you have. You don't have room. You don't have a kli. You don't have a space for anything more, for anything extra. So what happens when a person now receives a gift? So he thinks, oh, where am I going to put this? Where is this going to go? I literally don't have any space. This is extra, and therefore it becomes burdensome for me. I don't have the space for this. If I take this into my life, it's going to crowd another area of my life that's already misudar. So look what he says. Since the matana is not mitzad hamakabel, nimsa she'ein lo kelim hayru'uyim lekablim. He doesn't really have a kli, a vessel. We're not talking about a physical vessel, but he doesn't have the space, he doesn't have the wherewithal to receive it. V'lechein, kol od she'eino nitzrach lamatana, yesh lo lisona. If I offered you right now, you know, this is like the muscle that they give. They say, like, you know, if someone came to you now and said, I want to offer you $1 million boat, would you take it? So you say, of course, why not? That has tremendous value. What if they said, you can have this big, beautiful boat, but what? But you can't sell it. So you have to deal with it. It's your responsibility. So on the one hand, you're thinking like, well, this luxury boat, I could, you know, I could have throw a big party on my new cruise ship. At the same time, but what am I actually going to do with it? Imagine if I actually owned it and it was my achrayus to deal with it. Mar benachasim, mar bedaiga, like it says in Pirkei Avos. You know, more stuff, more problems. So what am I going to do with this? So it's actually not helpful for me. I don't want this. Don't give me this. It has some inherent value. It doesn't fit into my life right now. So it actually becomes a burden. I actually despise it. Don't leave that on my property. It's not helpful for me to have to deal with it. Ki davar she'ein magiolo ve'ein lo kelim lekablo hareza mosar. When a person receives something that he doesn't have a kli to receive, so it becomes excessive. It becomes extra in an annoying way, in a burdensome way. Valzer namar bechol atzev yamosar. And that's what it means when the pasuk says, I think the pasuk pshat in this pasuk is, in all sadness, yamosar, there is gain. In all difficulties, there's something to grow from it. But the way Rav Kluger is reading the pasuk, and it could be some Rishonim already read the pasuk this way, right? In all of your sadness, in all of life's burdens, it's yeah, mosar. It's because you have something extra in your life that you don't really need. Right? And therefore, it's cluttering your life. Again, it could be an idea. It could be a physical object. It could be a certain relationship that's not actually healthy for you, and it's making noise in your life. Right? So when you identify something that's causing you atzva, sadness, reflect. Maybe it's coming from a place of mosar. Ki kol davar sheyesh la'adam yosar michadei sarcho, top of the next column. Because whatever a person has that is not in accordance with his needs, v'chadei chiyuso, and it doesn't sustain his life, hareza machbir alav, so it weighs upon him. It becomes a burden to him. V'shoei v'menu kochos tam, and it drains him of his kochos. You could see, and again, for some of you, maybe this is the first time you're learning Rav Kluger's svarim. For some of you, I know it's not. Right? Rav Kluger is an incredibly healthy person. When I say healthy, I'm talking about emotionally healthy. Right? What Kluger is saying is a person has to be mindful of what's going on in your life. A person has to recognize the things, the relationships in your life, the things around you, because if it doesn't fit into your life, then soni matanos yichya. I don't need extra stuff. I don't need other things in my life that just become extra burdensome. He gives a simple example. Right? When a person eats the right amount of food, so it's life-giving, it's sustaining. But when a person develops unhealthy eating habits, and a person eats something that he doesn't really need, right? So now he's more food, so he's more alive? No, he becomes unhealthy. Kedugmas meichel miyusar, she'eino bari. If a person eats something, right, which is not healthy for him, ve'eino noach la'adam, and it's not pleasant for him, elohu machbir alav. When he eats something like that, it becomes what? It becomes heavy on him. It makes him heavy. Right? It makes him unhealthy. It's an extra burden. He's making his body work extra hard to digest that food that he didn't really need. It makes him sleepy. Right? It makes him unhealthy. Kmo kein kol davar she'eino magia lo mitzad masav. So the same thing true, chevra, is true about anything that is given to me that it's not according to my means. O mitzad hadin, that I haven't earned. Hareza mosar, it becomes excessive, bishvilo, Vizerak yonek mimenu es kochosav, and it drains his kochos. It takes up his energy. It's a waste of his time. It's a waste of his kochos hanefesh. It's a waste of his emotional energy. A person has a limited amount of emotional bandwidth. You know, Ayin Charlie Harari's book. I don't remember what it's called, but he talks a lot about that there. Right? There's only so much energy you have. So you have to decide what you want to invest it in. I can't do everything. I have to figure out, how do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? Right? How do I spend my energy? And then he becomes like a person if he's wearing a garment that doesn't fit. Right? So he's wearing the king's cloak, but it's heavy upon him. It doesn't fit him. It doesn't fit him properly. You could be wearing a designer suit, but if it's not your size, so it's not helpful. Right? It doesn't offer you anything. What do you mean? There's a $10,000 handcrafted suit from Italy. You know, shot in Sri, of course. Right? But if it's not your size, so then, like, I don't need this. What am I going to do with this? It doesn't help me. So now the question is, Chavra, so what do we do with the gift of Elul? Because the gift of Elul, right, is an incredible gift. So how do we make, the way we're going to ask the question, I guess, is like this. How do we make it fit? If we're not really worthy, if we really believe that the gift of tshuva is a matnas chinam, and we don't really deserve it, so how do we make it fit? And I say make it fit because I think that's the easiest muscle to use to understand the solution. And that is, what if I gave you a garment? Right? Let's say you became in honor of the new king of England. Right? So let's say you're a prince. You're a young prince. And all of a sudden, you know, the king passes away, and now you're the king. You're 9 years old, and you're the new king. And the king has his royal robes that he wears, you know, in like our vision of like a king. He has his crown, he has his robes. So this 9-year-old prince puts on the crown, and he puts on the robes, right? And the crown is slipping down over his neck because it's too big, and the robes are very heavy, they don't fit him properly. And he looks silly, and he feels strange. He doesn't feel that he's fitting for this, you know, for this robe, because it literally doesn't fit him. But obviously, in that mashal, the hope is that what? That as the child gets older, and he physically grows, with the passage of time, he grows into it. In other words, what does he have to do to make these garments fit? Nothing. He has to just wait till he gets bigger. As he gets older, he's going to develop, he's going to grow, and then the garment that was too small, right, will fit him properly. Will fit him properly. So all he has to do is wait. So says the Rebbe, says Rav Kluger, the secret to receiving a matana is what we call hamtana, is being patient. And let's try to understand this in a very deep way, because it's a very deep teaching. And it goes back to Mamish, what we started with. You know, Ariel going to play golf, right? And Jonathan Berger's insight that you have to take it, you know, a little bit at a time. You're not going to drive the ball 400 yards on the first shot. You need to be patient. There's a process of getting there. Ulam yesh kolach shel hamtana shebezeh nasim kelim lematana. How does a person make a kli to receive a gift? Tshuva at first could seem very burdensome. Let's use that mashal that again that he's using. When I have extra things in my life, it feels heavy. So when I first think about the opportunity of Chodesh Elul and all that it comes with, when I think about, right, the heaviness, literally the physical heaviness, the thickness of my machzor, which is how many pages? You know, I open this up, 82 pages. I'm holding a machzor with 782 pages in my hand, that's not the biggest machzor that I own. So you start thinking, this is heavy stuff. How am I going to work my way through this? And that's, by the way, that's just the Rosh Hashanah machzor. The Yom Kippur machzor next to it's even bigger. Right? So a person feels weighed down by the gift of tshuva, but he has to grow into it. Kumosha anu roam b'chush haraos, like we can see with our physical eyes from our experience. A person starts to learn Maseches Gittin, l'mashal, as we're learning this year, Sha'adam Maschil Lilmod Sugya Kasha, and he starts to introduce the concept of Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meir, Eide Mesira Karsi, Eide Chasima Karsi. He's literally just whetting his appetite. He hasn't even gotten to Daf Beis yet. And he hasn't gotten to the Tosfos on Daf Dalet yet. and he's starting to very slowly get a taste of the sugya, and he knows it's a big sugya because he sees on the side of the Gemara, he sees that it's going to come up here, and it's going to come up there, and it's going to come up throughout the Masechta, and it's going to have ramifications for the Mishnah and Daf Pei Vav, and he's trying to figure out, how am I going to put this whole big sugya together? It's so much information. But a person begins to learn the sugya, and at first it seems difficult, and it's all misubach. He doesn't know how to be mavara the pieces. He's collecting little puzzle pieces. He learns a Tosos and Daf Chav Beis, and then he looks at a Rush in the back of the Gemara, and he's trying to put together the pieces, and he's trying to understand. Rabbeinu Tam originally thought like this, and then Rabbeinu Tam changed his opinion to think like that, as you see a couple of times already in Maseches Gittin, which is also a holy lesson that Rabbeinu Tam could change his opinion. We could also change our opinion. Anyways, you're working your way through this difficult sugya. At the beginning, it's very hard. It's like a person who's tilling the soil for the first time. He's plowing the hard earth, and it's hard. It's hard to crack, you know? He opens the Gemara, and he literally hears the binding still cracking. And he looks at the Rosh Yeshiva in the Beis Medrash, whose Gemara is, you know, so worn from years of use, and he says, like, how am I ever going to get there? Where the Gemara is so gentle, the pages are so soft. My Gemara is still so stiff. The sugya is still, it's so kashe. But when he tills the earth and he plows the earth and he goes over it again and again, od pam va od pam nasis a sugya laat laat mechuveres umiusheves etzlo. The sugya starts little by little to become clear, and it becomes settled in his mind. And he's not struggling anymore to remember, wait, Rabbi Lazar holds with Shita, Rabbi Meir holds with Shita. He made a trick for himself to remember it. He remembers that he wants to say that Rabbi Meir is the one who holds Eide Mesira, because that would be easy to remember, right, Zach? Because Mesira and Meir sound the same. But he remembers that, no, he thought to himself, but that's not what it is. So he made a trick to remember it's actually the opposite. Rabbi Elazar holds Eide Mesira Karsi, and Rabbi Meir holds Eide Chasima Karsi. And then it's no longer, he doesn't have to recall it like it's hard for him to remember who holds what. It just becomes natural for him, because he's reviewed it so many times. Achinasa baki v'ragilba. To the point that he doesn't have to think, wait, what bracha do I make on an apple? Is it ha'etz? Is it ha'dama? Is it ha'gafen? He knows, he doesn't have to think about it. V'nasas k'nuya atzlo ki'ilu hi rechusho. He now acquires it. It has a place in his life. He makes space for it. He has a kli. He has somewhere to put this new gift. So when a person is growing in Avodas Hashem, and he sees the possibility of a new madrega in Avodas Hashem, at first he doesn't see how is this going to fit into my life, because he's a small person. He needs to grow into it. So how does he grow into it? It's this matana that's too big. Yesh lo avoda shel hamtana. He needs to have patience. You're right, you can't take it all in at once. You know what, at first when you receive that gift, there's a part of you that wants to and should reject the gift because I don't have space for this. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a gift. And if it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to deny a gift from Hashem? But I don't see how it fits into my life. Chodesh Elo, it's too much. It's too much. I was talking to someone last night. He said to me, he's like, you know, Mamela, I show up on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with one of two attitudes, and they're both wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, either I show up and I feel like I have so much to do and there's no time to do it, so I'm like, I'm disappointed. I'm like already frustrated before it even starts. Or I just say, like, whatever, I'm not going to accomplish whatever I'm going to accomplish, and I just, like, accept that. But that's also not good. I have to want to strive for something. Right? So on the one hand, like, how am I going to acquire this gift? How am I going to take it from being a gift, which I should reject, sone matanos yichya, to make it part of my life in a healthy way? And the answer is, la'at la'at, with patience. V'daika al yedei hakoshi, by struggling with the heaviness of that Gemara, when you're schlepping it around and you don't understand any of it yet. You barely scratch the surface. Nasa hadavar kinyano. But you know what? I keep coming back to it. And slowly, slowly, I start to befriend it. The sugya starts to make sense. The sugya starts to make sense. The opportunity of tshuva, which at first seems burdensome. The machzor, which when you were a kid on Rosh Hashanah, you were literally counting the pages. When is this going to be over already? As you start to grow spiritually, you start to say, I can't tell you, these last number of years, whenever Rosh Hashanah davening is over, I'm always like, what, that's it? So short. And then I think back when I was a kid, Rosh Hashanah davening was torturously long. It was torturously long, right? But that's because a person becomes, okay, you start to make a kli. You start to make a space. You start to grow yourself. You start to grow into your avodas Hashem. And therefore, it's no longer a matana, v'yotze migeder matana. It's no longer a gift, but rather nases l'chelak mimenu. It becomes part of your life. Elul is not something you have to like think about. Oh, what am I supposed to be doing in Elul? No, it's a natural part of the progression of a Jew, and it's something that again a person feels fits with who he is. V'lachein kishamosh Rabbeinu bikesh me'akadosh baruch hu sheyimchol v'yislach liYisrael b'matnas chinam. So when Moshe Rabbeinu petitioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us this awesome gift, which is called tshuva, this matnas chinam, we didn't deserve it. Moshe Rabbeinu, why couldn't he just go up to Shemayim and get the second luchos? If Hashem agreed, why couldn't he just run up there, get the luchos, and bring them back down? No. For 40 days, Moshe had to sit. And Moshe had to talk to Hashem. And Moshe, representing Klal Yisrael, had to prepare himself to bring us this gift. You're not going to get it in a second. If you get it in a second, it's not going to fit. Sonim matanos yichya. It's not going to fit. It's going to fall apart again. Veheim hayu yomei ha'amtana. And they became days of what? Of patient, slow, methodical, spiritual development. That's what Elul is. That's what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is. Shebehem zocha Moshe. She Yisrael yuchlu lekabel haslicha. Continuing on the next page. That the Jewish people should be able to receive this gift of slicha al nachon, ba'ofen miyushav. In a way that fits. V'lachein yimei elul. Shehei mechuvanim keneged arbaim yom ha'elu. Yesh behem avoda miuchedes shel hamtana. One of the secrets of tshuva, Rav Kluger is revealing there's a big secret in tshuva. And that is a person has to be patient. On the one hand, yes, you'll tell me, but Rebbe, there's sources that say a person can become a tzaddik in a second. That's true. There is a truth to that. That's not our shir today. That's also. So how does that fit with this? I'll tell you how it fits. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Two opposite things can be true. But there's an avoda of change that comes about very, very slowly, with a lot of patience, and absorbing ideas slowly. K'mavur b'lekuter moran in Torah Vav. As Rabbi Nachman famously taught us in one of his famous lessons about tshuva, lekuter moran, Torah Vav. Bisod kavanas yimei Elul, in explaining to us the secret of Chodesh Elul, Sha'azhu ki'ilu ein lo havaya ba'olam adayin. Elul, if Rosh Hashanah is hayom haras olam, listen carefully, if Rosh Hashanah is day one of what? Of creation of Adam HaRishon. What was day one of creation, Chavra? What day in the calendar is day one of creation? Chaf hei Elul. When we say Rosh Hashanah, hayom haras olam, today is the day the world was founded, Aleph Tishrei was the first day of Adam HaRishon. It's day six of creation. So what is Elul? What's the feeling in Elul? Elul, we don't even exist yet. In the words of Rabbi Nachman, listen again. Ein lo havaya ba'olam adayin. We don't yet exist. Man does not yet exist. The world doesn't exist yet. So what do you do when you don't exist? Al yedei sheyishma bizyono yidom v'yishto. Okay, he's giving us snippets from Likutei Moran Vav, but we're not going to be able to chop it if we learn it like this. Okay, so let's pause for a second, and let's just learn the beginning of Torah Vav and Likutei Moran together. If I can find it. Oh, okay, right over here. Take a look. Okay, Likutei Moran Torah Vav, brought to you by Safaria. Okay, Lashon Rabbeinu Zichrono Levracha. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Kra Es Yoshua. Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to summon Yehoshua. Okay, what that pasuk has to do with this Torah, we're not going to get to today. But here's what he says. Says Rabbi Nachman, Ki tzarech chol adam lima'et b'chvod atzmo u'laharbos b'chvod hamakom. In one sentence, Rabbi Nachman gives us our mission statement for life. The goal of a Jew in this world is to bring kvod shamayim, is to minimize his own honor and to give honor to Hashem, to bring honor to the king. Ki mi shirodef achar hakavod eino zocha lechvod Elokim. Because a person who's always seeking his own kavod is never going to understand what true kavod is, what he calls kavod Elokim. Elo kavod shemalachim. you're only going to have superficial kavod. You're going to have the kavod, the glory of kings of this world. You're going to be like King Charles, who I wouldn't trade anything in the world to be, because as the Piazetzner Rebbe, as our Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh once said, when a Jew says, I think it was the Piazetzner who said this, when a Jew says the bracha in the morning, Shalom Asani Goy, you know what you need to think? You need to think, I would rather be the schleppiest, most broken, impoverished Jew than to be the greatest, most noble, most wealthy, most distinguished and honorable, you know, Gentile king. That's what it means, Shalom Asani Goy. I wouldn't trade anything in the world. Because that's not real kavod. Real kavod is kavod of Torah. Real kavod is kavod of Kvod Shemayim. Real kavod is not taking kavod for yourself, but giving kavod to Hashem. So there's something called kavod malachim. Kavod malachim chakur davar. Kavod malachim, when a person takes honor for himself, so then the pasuk says, chakur davar, we're going to investigate this person. If you become a melech basar vadam, you know what they're going to say about you in the papers? I don't know what they're going to say about you in the papers, but you know what I do know? They're going to talk about you a lot in the papers. So all of a sudden, now you're drawn into the spotlight. You know why? Because if you have kavod, so then people want to say, does he deserve the kavod? Does he deserve the honor? Kavod malachim, when you take honor, chakor davar, v'akol choykrim achra, v'sholim, everyone asks, mihu ze ve'ezahu. Yeah, King Charles. Well, let's learn about his past. Let's dip into his private life and find out what type of person he is. It's bizyonis. Shecholkim lo kavod hazeh. Why does he deserve this honor? V'cholkim alav. And then the people start to what? To start to speak behind his back. So obviously he'll surround himself by people who give him all this honor. But it's all demyonos. It's not real. But a person, a humble person who's boreach min hakavod, a person who runs away from self-seeking honor, shememayid b'chvod atzma umar b'chvod hamakom, and he directs all of the honor towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, azayhu zochel l'chavod eloki. Then he gets real kavod. He gets godly kavod. V'oz ein b'nei adam chokrim al kvodo. Because when people see that he's l'shma, that he does things for Hashem, and then they give him honor, you meet a real tzaddik, of course he's given honor by people, but no one questions it. He deserves it. Why? Because it's not about him. It's not about him. Kvod elokim haster davar. A person who directs his honor towards Hashem, haster davar. People don't talk about him. Ki aser lachur al kavod hazeh. No one speaks about the tzaddik. About the politician who's the elected official. Everyone wants to know, how did he get elected? Right? And they start to delve into all the dirty things of his private past. Like everyone has, his own averos. Everyone wants to know his averos. But a person who's l'shem shemayim, a person who directs his kavod at Hashem, such a person is going to be freed from that type of opposition. But says Rabbeinu Nachman Mibreslev, says Rabbeinu, listen to this: V'i efshar lizkos l'kavod hazeh ela al yedei tshuva. But the only way, since every one of us has taken kavod that we don't deserve, we've all been given honor that we don't really deserve. We've taken some of Hashem's honor for ourselves. So therefore we need to do tshuva. And how do I give back? What is the tshuva that a person does? Rabbi Nachman says a very interesting thing. Look at this, in one line. The ikar ha-tshuva. However, you could spend all of El just trying to learn this one line. The essence of tshuva is, kishayishma bizyono yidom v'yishtok. When a person experiences something shameful or embarrassing, when he hears bizyono, he hears someone insulting him, Yidom v'yishtok, and he is still and he is quiet. Not only is he quiet, he doesn't respond, but yidom, it doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't move him. Yidom, he's still, he's quiet inside. He's mekabelit. You know what that means? That means he's mevatel himself completely. And what does that mean if he's mevatel himself completely? The only thing that matters is Hashem's honor. My honor doesn't matter to me at all. That's the tshuva and the restoration of kavod the way it's supposed to be. Two more lines. Ki leis kavod below kaf, because you can't write the word kavod without the letter chaf. The first letter of a word tells us the essence of the word in a certain sense. Va kaf hu keser. And keser, which is the highest madrega, very much connected to tshuva, is also starts with the letter kaf. So kavod and keser are connected. Bechinas Eheyeh, Bechinas, the name of Hashem Eke, which literally means I will be, it's who do you want to become, Bechinas Tshuva. Ki Eke, because the idea of Eheyeh, of I will be, means what? Da ona zamin lemeheve. This is what I want to become. Hainu kodem ha-tshuva, before I do tshuva, adayin ein lo havaya. I don't yet even exist before I do tshuva. Kilo adayin lo nishave ba'olam. As if I don't yet exist in the world. Ki tov lo shalo nivra mishanivra. Because it's better, as the Gemara says, better not to be born than to be born. But only after I do tshuva do I justify my existence. Very interesting, very deep. It says Rabbi Nachman, v'zeh b'chinas keser, and this idea is called keser, because the word keser is a lashon hamtana. The word keser is also a code word for patience. The highest level, keser, is a lashon of being patient. Really? Where do we see that the word keser means patience? B'chinas tshuva, the concept of tshuva, patience. As the Gemara says, haba litar misayein lo. A person who wants to purify himself is given help. And then the Gemara gives a mashal for a person, shabal liknos afar simon. A person wants to buy fragrant oils. Omrim lo, we say to him, hamtein, wait. What does that mean? If you walk into a store, the Gemara says, that sells kerosene, yeah, for your oven in the olden days. So then the owner of the store says, yeah, just help yourself. Take whatever amount you want. Tell me what the measure is. Measure it out yourself and pay me. Do it yourself. But when you walk into the store and you're buying expensive, nice-smelling perfume, so the owner of the store says, wait, Hamtein, wait a minute. Let's measure it together. Partially because it's valuable and expensive, but partially because the owner of the store says, the dirty stuff you could take yourself. I don't want to get my hands dirty. But for the good stuff, we'll work together. Hamtein, wait a minute. And that's called keser. Because Eov says, or Eov's friend says to Eov, when Eov is feeling frustrated, and Eov says, God hates me, and life is falling apart. Eov's friend says to him, whoa, katar li ze'er v'achaveka. Wait a second, and we'll talk about it. Wait a minute, hold on. Just because something bad happened to you doesn't mean that there's no God in the world. Eov's friend says, slow down a little bit. Right? Figure out what Hashem is saying to you. There's a process here. Okay, Adkan, for our sake, Rabbi Nachman. There's a lot more to say here. But Chevra, we know that the goal of Yom Kippur is to get to a place called Keser. What are we achieving on Yom Kippur? What's the goal on Yom Kippur? Lifnei Hashem, what's the next word? Before Hashem, you will be what? Titaru, you'll be purified. Titaru is Gematria Keser. The goal, what we're moving towards through all of these days, is to get to Keser, to put a crown on Hashem's head, and to justify us wearing a crown, because when we got the Torah, Hashem put crowns on our heads also. But you don't get that. You don't get that in a second. In this world, the queen dies and you become the king. Are you worthy of being the king? You get thrown into it. That's called kvod malachim. Kvod Elokim. Kvod Elokim requires patience. Requires savlanut. Requires, as Rabbi Nachman said, the essence of tshuva is being embarrassed and not responding. Because there's a part of us that's so embarrassed in Chodesh El. I don't want to think about my Averos. It's embarrassing. And I have to sit in it for so long. Can't we just get to Yom Kippur already and clean it up? No. It's not going to work like that. If you want to receive the gift of tshuva, you have to have hamtana. If you want the matana, you want the gift, you have to have hamtana. You have to be patient. So let's finish up the piece. Umi'ata yuvan jadaika al yidei sha'adam shomeya bizyona. So when a person hears his insults, his disgrace, v'roa she'eino roi mitzad atzmo lizchos la'avodas Hashem, and he doesn't really feel worthy of whatever he's being offered in avodas Hashem, I don't deserve Torah, I don't deserve tshuva, I don't deserve any of this. U'v'chol zos hareihu mamtin u'miyachel yeshuasel yisbarach. And even though he's sitting in Chodesh Elul and it's really uncomfortable, I just want to get to the other side of Yom Kippur. I want it to be Motzei Yom Kippur and I'm eating a bagel and drinking orange juice. I just want to get there already. You know? And then I can sit in the sukkah, it's geschmack, simchas beis shueva, I'll go to bar park and I'll dance with tzaddikim. But right now it's so uncomfortable. Because right now it's about confronting all the embarrassing things that I've done. But nonetheless, I don't ignore it. I'm patient. I sit here waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to clean me off. I'm trying to make a vessel to be able to receive this gift of tshuva. Azai b'zehu osa kelim l'kabel bo havai u'metzias chadasha. It's in this way that he makes a vessel to receive what? To receive new life. To be born again. And then there's no concern that he received a gift that doesn't fit, that he doesn't deserve. That he becomes fit to receive the gift of tshuva through his hamtana, through his patience. He quotes the Baal HaTanya in the top of this paragraph and says, by the way, what do we call our legs, our thighs? They're called masnayim. It's also a lashon of matana, or of hamtana, because this is the part of the body, the lower part of the body, that carries what? The burden, the weight of the upper part of the body. Think about how much weight, how much pressure it is on the legs, on the feet, on the masnayim, to carry what? To carry the guf. Right? It's a big burden. But again, hopefully, if a person is healthy, right, so then it's not so hard for him to carry himself, because his body fits, the parts of his body fit together. And therefore, concludes Rav Kluger, v'yinei be'emes, one more remez to this idea. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machadish betuvo v'chol yom tamid ma'isa bereishis. So says Rav Kluger, let's think about what happens every day. There's new things. There's new things all the time. Maybe you don't, you know, there's obviously the biggest breaking things that everyone hears about, breaking news. Right? But there's new things happening every day. Hashem renews the world every day. V'chol yom tomin b'chovo matanos chadashos shi'ischad shubo b'yom. Every day carries within it all of these new things. New ideas, sichlim chadashim, refuos chadashos. There's new medicine, new breakthroughs, medical breakthroughs. V'shefa chadash b'mazon. There's all sorts of new developments in producing food. V'gidule ha'aretz. Someone just told me last night that their son-in-law went from Eretz Yisrael to Italy to study vineyards so they can become he can better plant grapes in Israel. Right? There's all these new developments, new ways to do things, new ideas, and the like, and all that goes with it. Says Rav Kluger in the last page. But let's think about how a day goes in terms of what? In terms of the day unfolding. B'tchilas hayom ein or behiros, ki adayin ein bebriya kelim v'koach l'kabel l'shefa hayom. It's interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't turn on day and night like a light switch. He could have. Hashem could have shut off the sun at the end of the day and turned it back on the next day. But notice, that's not how Hashem runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes up the day step by step by step, slowly, slowly, slowly. The sun begins to rise until it's suspended over a person, shining as bright as it does in midday. And that alludes to us, that reveals to us something about ourselves. The unfolding of the day. The chiddush of the day. Ki kumo shahashemesh me'ira tipin tipin ad chatzos hayom. Just like the light gets brighter and brighter until it reaches midday. Sha'az hi b'toikfa b'rosh kol adam. And that's when it what? It's above. It's like a keser. It's a crown on top of the world. Directly above you. Shining at full capacity, so to speak. Revealed at full capacity. So too, it's revealing to us the shefa of each day is mosif v'holech mitchilas hayom ma'at ma'at. Little by little, the day unfolds. And chaver, that's how we have to look at our avodas Hashem. People want to get rich quick. People want to acquire things quickly. Everyone wants fast in the world today because we live in a fast world. But in the avodas Hashem, the way to get the matana of avodas Hashem is hamtana. Is you have to put in the time and the effort day by day, little by little, working your way through the sugya. One Rashi at a time, one Tosfos at a time, one insight, one line of Gemara at a time. That's the only way to acquire it. As Rabbi Nachman explained the concept in Likutei Maran and Torah Samach, the concept of Arichas Yamim. Chaver, you know what Arichas Yamim is? Arichas Yamim is not just living a long life. What does it mean, Reb Shneur? What does it mean to be Marich the day? You know what that means? To stretch the day, to squeeze more out of the day. Laharich lahagdil yamav. Shabtai Avram, you hear? A person can have, everyone has the same 24-hour day. What does it mean to have a long day? Dovi, what does it mean to have a long day? A long day means to have a productive day. And of course, I'm not going to be able to maximize every second of the day at the beginning. I just started YU, I'm still trying to figure out how this place works. But as time goes on, hopefully you develop a system to make more of your time that what? That you're marich the day. You make it into a full day, into a long day. Ki kol yom v'yom mimakum shemaschel etzel kol echad bevadei b'tchila hu katzar. Because when we start the day, chevra, every day starts off very katzar. It starts off very narrow. Like the narrow end of the shofar before you get to the wide end of the shofar. What does that mean? B'tchila sayom, you wake up in the morning and you start your day by being annoyed that you went to bed so late. Right? Well, da'ani lefanecha, Hashem, why did I stay up so late? Why didn't I manage my time better yesterday? Now I'm exhausted. I had all these hopes to have a good day, a good week. I want to learn. I want to grow. I stupidly stayed up late last night, and now I'm tired, and I'm frustrated. Right? And the day starts off very narrow. Kasha alav ma'od ha'avoda shetzarach lasos bo'os ha'yom. It's hard to daven, l'spalil, l'lmod. It's hard to get out of bed. V'alkein ha'yom b'tchilasahu katzar. And Hashem says, I know. And that's why I didn't flip on the sun and put it at chatzos. I didn't turn on and off the sun like a light switch. The sun is coming up slowly. Hashem says, you're also waking up slowly. But if a person works and tries, a person puts in the effort, then the day starts to expand itself. And hopefully, you know what? He gets a cup of coffee into his body and he stretches a little bit and he says, you know what? I'm going to make something of this day. And he experiences what's called arichas yamim. He strengthens the day. He expands the day. V'tzarach ha'adam liros lahagdila ulaharchiva, to widen it and to grow it. Ulaharich kol shav v'shav shabah acherkach, to try to make, as the day goes on, not that the day gets weaker, but the day gets stronger. V'chein kishabah yom sheni, and he says, you know, I'm going to build off of my mistake from yesterday to make the tomorrow a better day. Right? Hopefully Monday will be better than Sunday. And he's holy chmisarachiv b'tosefes kedusha yaseira, and the whole day continues to grow with more and more kedusha. That's called arichas yamim. Arichas yamim is not a person who lives a long life. Arichas yamim is a person who makes the most of his days. Says Rav Kluger in the final paragraph, ve'inyan ze mispateh b'taluchos hashemesh. And again, the movements of the sun are all merames to us, this idea. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes up the day, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the sun to set at the end of the day, the waxing and waning of the moon, with which the Jewish people are compared to, all of the things in nature are revealing to us that, again, that the real gift, to acquire a gift in a way that's not going to be repulsive, sone matanu zichya, is going to be through what? Through a patient process. Da aschala shel hayom hina choshech. Da haynu she'eino musar klal. Where does the day start? In total darkness. And then slowly the light starts to shine ma'at ma'at ar chatzos hayom, where the sun is again shining at full capacity. And there's a hasaga sayom. He says, this is what the day is supposed to look like. Right? He has a hasaga legamri bebehiras. He has that clarity. V'yotzeis megeder matana legeder shel kinyan. And it's no longer a gift that's being given to him that he doesn't have the space for, but it's a kinyan, it's an acquisition. He owns it now. The world now has a kli to receive the sun, and you have the spiritual capacity to receive the gift of Elul and the Yemei HaRachamim V'Aslichos. And then the day gets dark again, because now you're transitioning to the next level, so you have to go back into the darkness and then shuv, to reemerge, to come from that place, l'kras yom hamacharas, to be able to then emerge from that place to the next day. So what an incredible insight. Just a simple understanding of two words, matana and hamtana. What's the relationship between the word matana, a gift, and hamtana, and being patient? This is the sugya of life, this is the sugya of Avodas Hashem, and this is the way that we acquire the gift of Chodesh El. So I bless us, we should be patient with ourselves. You know, to put in the effort day in and day out, to come to shir and to keep working on ourselves, to make the most of our moments, to have real arichas yamim. Okay, we should all be blessed. Shkoyach. Nu, what do you want to share? What do you want to add?
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Father.